This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It is day one from Radio Row here in New Orleans of Sean, RJ, and Bobby. It's DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. And the only thing that anyone wants to talk to us about walking around here is number 77. We got it from Seth Payne in Houston. I got it from Bob Fesco in Kansas City. People see the credentials. Oh, Dallas, why, what, when, how, where, what. That's it. That's it. We've been branded.
Branded.
As Luka talkers. No one wants to talk to us about anything else here all week long.
I'm grateful for that for one reason. It means we don't talk about Schottenheimer.
And Jerry's grateful for it as well. Or does that even... Would Jerry rather be talked about and insulted than have this happen?
Yes.
Be buried?
Yes. Absolutely.
Right?
Put it this way. I was on Seattle radio yesterday. Whoa. I didn't even want to talk about the Schottenheimer, and he was there for like 4 years.
That's right. Recap yesterday for me. Now, for you two numbnuts that don't understand how like vacation works, I had a comp day. I said, there's no football. I'll take off Monday. I'll pack with my wife. I'll spend a three-day weekend with my kids before I leave for a week. Nothing will happen. It's the dead period. And then a freaking, of course, this happens, and people are like, oh, my God, would you duck? Would you duck the coverage? Da-da-da. Yeah, I ducked the coverage. I didn't want to, you know, miss one of the biggest days in the history of DFW sports.
So. To be honest, I did wonder for a second if you were going to text us on Sunday and say, I'm switching the comp day.
Well, I was thinking that you would maybe put me on, but you respected the comp day.
I wasn't going to ask you because we've talked about putting you on before when you're off. And you're like, no, do not call me. So I didn't do it this time.
Well, someone tell that to Jake Rietma. I mean, I talked to Jake more than my wife on Sundays on 105.3 The Fan.
Look, there's a lot we tell Jake Rietma that doesn't seem to get through to him. So I mean,
recap yesterday. I want to know the anger level, the frustration. How many said they're quitting? They're out. How many actually defended it?
I mean, it was like Cowboys anger. So it was.
Yeah, more frustration or less angry over this versus Schottenheimer. This is worse.
Schottenheimer felt like you idiots was the general sentiment.
A letdown.
This was you hurt me. Like my team hurt me. Like this was pain.
Yes.
And this was. I mean, there was we took four or five calls yesterday of people who were like, "Yeah, get him out of town." Great.
Yeah,
move.
And it seemed that they were all in the first hour. They were like in succession.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And look. Credit to the ones who heard it, and look, this is why Nico may not survive this. The callers who called in and defended moving Luka didn't even defend the trade return. Mm-hmm. We had callers all morning calling back and going, and Anthony, Brian, but listing off the names of people they remembered that called
of
in
the listeners?
And defended it.
Yeah. They were naming names.
This is this was as angry. This is
I got it.
It's as angry and hurt and anything hurt. Else as I've ever heard.
It really was.
So my takeaways are obviously like I woke up to pee at 3:15, and I never went back to sleep. I sat down because I like to go through my phone.
And I never go back to sleep. I do that.
Yeah, I have to, like, just look. And the first thing I opened up was Portland Trailblazers react to Luka trade. I thought, and then it was like a laugh emoji. So I thought it was a bit. You know, like Kyrie did a exercise of pretend you got traded to the Lakers.
What? Yeah, that whole thing.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, they put a laugh emoji. And then, like, I opened up the texts, and you guys were up. And I mean, like everyone else, right? Shock. And you're like, Anthony Davis, street clothes, and a pick? No. Like, what? How? And then I stayed up until like 10 o'clock at night. 3:15, staying up, retweet, Choppy's Instagram Live, all of it, trying to find out. Disbelief. Obviously, the return is not enough.
Man, I'll tell you that. Instagram. So usually when I go on Instagram Live, there's like 20 people that tune in, right? Maybe 30. This is almost 11 o'clock at night on a Saturday. I had like 150 people just like nonstop with the comments.
Yeah, well, they're not losers like me going to sleep at 9 p.m. when you have two kids. The other thing that I take from this is I thought Bobby brought up a great point. This is maybe the most disconnected front office / ownership that there could be in major professional sports. We got to, like, when Dan Snyder took over the Redskins, he was still a Redskin fan. You have an out-of-town owner. You have an Nico's, right? He's not a Dallas guy.
No, he was here in, like, the early 2000s. Like, he was set up here as, like, Nike salesman.
Right, but he's not, like, he is not a Dallas guy. He's not a Dallas fan.
So that lack of connectivity, people are going to view it. You're an outsider, and you traded. This would have been like me growing up, and they traded Ripken. You don't do it. You can't do it, right?
Yeah, you can't. Nobody would want to hit her.
This is not Los Angeles or New York where you can just rotate superstars.
No, you can't.
I know it sounds weird saying that. We're a top four city.
Yeah,
like
it's
people
still
look
provincial.
At the fan, you know, number six in the country, best sports talk show, according to Barrett Sports Media. But we still like we don't rotate. It's hard to get Corey Seager here.
It's still a very provincial town. Like they want they would rather lose with homegrown
their guy
then win with a mercenary.
So you traded Ray Lewis, you traded Dirk, you traded Kobe, which the Lakers, you know, Kobe wanted out, and you traded your guy. The hurt is there.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. I'm gonna talk to Mike Florio about this at 8.
Well,
Nico Harrison, you are too, Bob.
Oh,
Nico Harrison has chosen to be unlike 99% of the general managers in the history of sports, in that he's trying to hold Luka accountable for the smaller things. And maybe he doesn't view it as the smaller things. But his code of conduct, Nico Harrison is trying to abide and live by that. You have to work hard. You have to set the right example. You can't cry and bitch at the officiating nonstop. You have to play defense. And if you're not going to very Belichickian, in my opinion. Nico's trying to be that. And it doesn't matter if you're Luka Doncic, and it doesn't matter if you're Markieff Morris. If you don't do it, we're gone. And Nico, and Mike Florio texted me this when I had the Micah Parsons stuff a while back, that some people in Frisco were tired of Parsons. Florio texted me, you know what he said? He said, so effing what? He's Micah freaking Parsons.
Yeah.
And that is what Mavs fans are saying, and every other NBA analyst. Let him smoke a damn pack of Marlboro Reds dribbling the ball up the court because he's getting you 33-99. But that wasn't enough for Nico. Nico has his rules. He has his laws. He has his conduct. And he's acting like you better abide by it.
He can have all the rules he wants. I mean, it better work.
For a guy that's always hurt.
Yeah.
You didn't trade for AC Green's.
AC Green.
You didn't trade for his consecutive game streak. It seems like Nico Harrison had a crush on Anthony Davis.
Yeah, that was it.
We all love certain people,
sure.
Right? We all are like, oh, I know. I just like him more than anyone else. I'm just telling you, that's my guy. And Anthony Davis was Nico's guy.
No, that's how it was. It was he wanted Anthony Davis. Simple as that. Because, you know, this is the wrong time to do this with Luka in terms of the age?
After thinking about it a couple days, after you get over the stunning compensation, lack thereof, the thing that hurts the most is you flushed your 10-year window.
Yeah.
That's the if they were both 32, okay, it would still hurt, but you would have gone. You gave away the prime of an international global superstar.
You broke the two rules. Never trade young for old and never trade the best player in the deal. And those are the two rules of NBA trades, and they did them. And if you wanted to...
You had a shot for a decade. Yeah, you could be in the mix with this guy.
If you were looking at Luka and say, look, I don't want a Joel Embiid situation, fine. Joel Embiid is one more contract beyond where Luka is. So he's 30. You do that when the guy's 29.
Yes.
You assume, like everybody else in the history of the planet, that somewhere around between the ages of 25 to 29... You realize, I can't eat like that anymore. It's starting to catch up with me.
Sandler hasn't
caught up to him yet.
Sandler brought that up. He said, why did this organization... Well, I'll get to the question. Why did this organization give Dirk that time to correct the diet, right?
Yeah. Organization.
Bring his own dinner. No red wine, no ice cream. Did you say to Dirk till what age?
24, 25 is what Dirk
about
said.
About the same time as the same age as Luka.
So Jared said, why did they give Dirk that time and that pass? Well, those people are all gone. And Mark Cuban won't comment on it. And Mr. opens his mouth over any topic in the entire universe, took his money, and like Ted DiBiase said, and Mark Cuban ain't no different. Everybody has a price. And Mark Cuban shut the hell up and just gives out his little MFFL. That's my comment. Because
he didn't give that to Chandler Parsons, apparently.
He took his money, and he's not going to comment on it. And it's a new ownership group, that's why.
Yeah, and look, here's the biggest problem, and this is what nobody's going to be able to get over, and why I don't know. All of that can be true about Nico and saying, like, we have rules, we have standards, we do this, we do that. All of those things can be true. There's no explanation, nothing you can say that justifies executing that particular deal. Yeah. The quote I can't get over, the one that keeps ringing in my mind, is that one of the Forbes NBA writer who reached out to an executive and said, what would you have given up if you knew Luka was available? And he said, everything. We would have given them everything for Luka.
You plan... Again, at 25 years old, he's eating the way he's eating, and he still puts up 30 a night. Now, if it starts to, like, obviously it started to impact him a little bit with the injuries. First of all, you have to prove that those injuries are because of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's four to the left calf in 3 years, right?
Okay, that could be just a left calf issue. It may not be a health. He could maybe eat like
I would say this.
He still might not.
If they have the sports scientists and trainers and stuff that they hire, I'm sure they have a pretty good idea of it's conditioning.
They ran the whole staff out.
Yeah.
They replaced Casey Smith. Is a legendary name in the world of sports medicine and training, and they were not happy. No one could get through to him. And that may be an indictment on them. None of them could get through to him, so they're like, screw it. We're going to do a different training staff. And then Luka's like, no, I'm going to be like Tom Brady, and I'm going to have my own personal training staff. So Blake Elliott had reported over the weekend that there was a fight over that. There was a power struggle. Luka's people were not getting the job done, and the Mavs wanted him to train with their people. But what this all boils down to is Nico reacting and holding Luka to a standard that Bill Parcells has had to decide with Lawrence Taylor, that Phil Jackson has had to decide with Shaquille O'Neal, that any great diva, superstar in the history of athletics has had to get that decision made from their head coach. And Parcells dealt with it, and Phil dealt with it. And name whoever else you want.
They all deal with it. You have to.
You deal with it for the talent, and Nico Harrison decided not to.
If you want to get in bed with superstars, you've got to deal with it. And, again, there is a time.
Which you think he would know, right? I know he's a new GM, but this guy has dealt with the best and most famous basketball players his entire life with Nike.
Yeah, and look, I mean, you want to take this hard-line stance about condition and all that stuff. I have no problem with that. Not at that age. Sports science has proven you don't hit your prime until you're 26. 26 to 31 is your athletic prime. And you were giving up a guy who hasn't even gotten there yet.
He screwed us. He screwed our job for the next decade.
No, he screwed his job. We'll be fine.
Will we?
Yeah.
We had an this guy was going to be an MVP candidate for the next 7 to 8 years if he was healthy. I'm always real with y'all. I think about it selfishly. He effed us bad.
Yeah.
Real bad, because what are you going to do when Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving are done? He screwed us for 7 to 8 years, and Mavs season ticket. Imagine being a Mavs season ticket holder. Oh, my goodness. All right. The biggest question, though, right? The biggest question is, why did they only get that return? Why didn't they talk to anyone else? We have some possible answers provided next on Sean and RJ, 105 Through the Fan. We also have a Luke Bryan ticket giveaway during the Expressway. We're live in NOLA. The reason they didn't call anyone else but the Lakers after this.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. morning, DFW. It is Sean and RJ here, 105.3 The Fan. Fist pump time in the 9 o'clock hour. Final hour of the show. We head to Radio Row in New Orleans this afternoon after the show. Sean will join us there. He is off today. Bobby is in the bathroom right now, and we may not have him for a little while. That's okay. That's okay. He had to go downstairs for this one. Peyton Russell alongside. We are proud to be joined by Tim McMahon of ESPN right now. Talked to him yesterday. I was like, man, we got to get you on. The first one we hit up, got to get you on to talk about this. Good morning, Timmy. How we doing?
Howdy, partner. I mean, I appreciate you having me on, but it might be more entertaining if you go give a play-by-play of Bobby's situation down there.
Dude, that would be great. Go on down there, zoom him in. Get some video.
A boom mic. You need like a long boom mic. Don't want to get too close.
No, definitely don't want to. Let's just get your reaction to this. Like, were you awake when this happened? Were you nestled in bed?
Yes. I was awake trying to get to bed. I actually had traveled from San Francisco to Cleveland. So I was fortunate that I had already planned to briefly join the Mavericks on this road trip. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I was completely shocked. I did the thing where I double checked, is this really Shams? You know,
yeah.
That whole thing. I was able to get Nico Harrison on the phone, right after that and kind of get his explanation. And you know, I'd actually like, there had been people there who had kind of, there'd been a lot of huffing and puffing and griping and moaning about Luka this year. Like, let's just be honest, there had been, right? And there had even been like, you know, well, if we have to trade him to, you know, to put ourselves in position to win a championship, we'd do that. And, you know, and I was just like, okay, sure you would, buddy. You know, that mm-hmm. sort of a thing. And I just kind of attributed that to people venting. But boy, they did it. And I was shocked. Just as shocked as, I mean, players, coaches, the executives. I can't tell you how my phone blew up really for like the next 36 hours. It was the most shocking trade in NBA history for the simple reason that you have never seen a player with that resume at age 25 who did not want to be traded get moved. You've never seen a team decide to dump a first-team All-NBA selection, five-time first-team All-NBA selection at the age of 25, entering his prime. You've never seen a team decide to dump that level of superstar, and that's exactly what happened here.
Tim, this news over the weekend made me so sick that I'm only just now getting back into the
I hope you're feeling better than you were a few minutes ago.
I'm going to be standing for the rest of this one. I'm not going to sit down. I know that. So, Tim, I'm curious. You just mentioned how shocking it was. What is the most surprising aspect of this? The very simple fact that they traded him. The fact that they only talked to the Lakers, apparently, or the fact that they played this so close to the vest that they're saying they didn't even tell Jason Kidd or Kyrie Irving this was going on.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. I'm a little suspicious that J. Kidd had no idea. Certainly J. Kidd was among the many who had been extremely frustrated with Luka. Having said that, the most surprising thing is that you traded a generational talent as he's approaching his prime. That is what makes this shocking, you know, and then the rest of the stuff, you can argue about the process. Certainly I've heard from a lot of people in the league. And one thing I've actually heard a lot of is, hey, I understand wanting to move on from Luka. I understand wanting to get out of the Luka business, but you have to maximize the value of the return. And the criticism is that they didn't do that. Now, the counterpoint for Mika is, hey, we didn't just want to move on from Luka. We wanted to get Anthony Davis, you know, and obviously this guy's got an incredible resume as well. I hear that people say, yeah, he's 6 years older too. And that is a plain and simple fact, but you know, they targeted Anthony Davis as the guy that they wanted. And so, you know, in their mind, there was not only no need to, open up the bidding to other teams, but a desire not to, because they didn't want a circus while this whole thing was unplanned. They didn't want to
you know, have a Jimmy Butler-esque kind of situation. Very different personalities, but you know what I'm saying. Just a daily saga. You know, personally, I think it's hard to stomach not being able to squeeze every bit of value out of the Lakers. The fact the Lakers had two available first-round picks, the Mavericks only got one. You know, we can even discuss, like, hey, they've got Dawn Connect, a nice rookie prospect. You know, you couldn't have gotten him in a deal. And, you know, talking to other general managers around the league, there is some who are saying, okay, you had that Lakers deal bird in hand. Why don't you take that and shop it? Call the Rockets, who have a ton of young talent and a million picks. They're not looking to change their core, but decisions are influenced by circumstances, and the circumstances of Luka Doncic being available would absolutely open up ears. You know, call San Antonio, again, a team, young talent, ton of picks. Call around the league and see if you can get a package that would, you know, that would far surpass the Lakers. They didn't do that. They got what they wanted from the Lakers. You know, they made the deal, and now they, you know, hope it works, because if it does not, the, you know, the reaction already has been fierce from the Mavericks fan base. If this deal fails, it is a career defining moment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Tim McMahon joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. I mean, like, is there any way to make this is there any good that comes from this? Like, can you make the case that they're better today?
You know what? I've had people I respect, other general managers in the league, say that you can make a credible case that this deal makes the Mavericks better this season. You know, and part of that is, you know, Luka hadn't been on the floor for a while. What's he going to look like when he gets back? You know, all those sort of things. But, you know, the Lakers or the Mavericks did bring in one dominant defensive player. And Max Christie, you know, I know people in Dallas don't want to hear a whole lot about Max Christie right now. He's a promising 3-and-D wing, a guy who's probably the Mavericks' best on-ball defender once he steps foot in that locker room. So I have actually had, again, you know, people around the league who I respect, or, you know, one general manager in particular, say they can make a credible case that they got better now. The next thing the GM said was, but they didn't maximize the return.
You know, Tim, what was the relationship between Luka and Nico like? I mean, was that one that was tense or damaged, or this, do you think this completely blindsided Luka?
No, listen, there was absolutely some tension and some frustration, a lot of frustration. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Like, Luka is an unbelievable talent. Like, I don't have to tell you guys that. You have TVs, you have eyeballs, right? The lack of discipline really wore on a lot of people throughout the organization. Nico certainly was very high on that list, but by no means alone in that. You know, I can just tell you that, like, when Luka strained his calf on Christmas Day, there wasn't like a big feeling of sympathy throughout the organization. It was, man, this is what happens when you don't care about condition, when you don't care about diet. You know, what the Mavericks were kind of slick about, that calf contusion that he suffered just before camp, there was also a strain then. So we're talking four strains on one calf in 3 years, you know, a chronic problem. And then after that, you remember he missed all of camp, he missed all of preseason, and he wasn't taking care of his body at that time. Look, Luka is such an unreal talent that he can average 28-8-8 and play like crap. It's true. I mean that. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely incredible the way this guy can play, by his standards, awful basketball and still put up numbers that 99% of the league would love to have. But that's exactly what you got from Luka early in the season. He was playing terrible basketball. You know, down the stretch of games, the shot selection was awful. The defense was abysmal. Fatigue was a massive issue. He was playing in the high 260s. Yikes. All these things are related. You know what I mean? And so then he has the right wrist sprain. Yeah, he had a little wrist thing. They shut him down so he could shed weight. They did the same thing. Remember when he kept rolling his ankle early in Kidd and Nico's first season? They shut him down for a while so he could shed weight. This was the same exact thing. So, yes, it was a, I can't believe we're still doing this bleep. You know, that there was definitely that sort of a feeling throughout the organization. Then he gets back, and look, man, the Mavs were rolling between the time Luka came back and Christmas. They'd won, I think, 14 out of 17. Luka looked a lot like, you know, the Luka Doncic who led the league in scoring last year, damn near averaged a triple-double. I mean, the game he had in San Francisco against the Warriors was like, whew, yeah, they were on the way. Then he gets hurt again on Christmas, and they knew, like, okay, it was clear then, like, this is the worst of the calf strains. And there was definitely a feeling of this is what happens when you don't take care of yourself. It keeps happening, and there was that kind of a frustration. And that absolutely was a massive factor in this decision. And then, you know, it's also he hadn't been progress. You know, that level of frustration, and we're going to give him a $345 million commitment this summer. There was a fear that they were going to get stuck in a Joel Embiid-like situation in Philly where you've got a supermax of a guy who's not on the floor very often. So that, you know, when I talk about the frustration with the conditioning, all those concerns, it's those concerns also leading into, you know, the financial concerns. And that was the motivation of this deal. I don't think there's going to be any sort of like scandal that comes out or anything. People keep asking me that. There's nothing there that I know of. It's just, you know, these very obvious flaws prompting Nico Harrison to make a historically unprecedented decision to trade this type of talent at this stage of his career without any pushing from the player or his agent.
Tim, what is your favorite conspiracy theory regarding this that you've heard?
Yeah, listen, I don't need a clip of me even uttering words of a conspiracy theory out there. So I'm not participating in that at all.
You know, Tim, is this, you mentioned just there about how it's an unprecedented decision. Is this the kind of decision from Nico Harrison that will, I mean, there's really no in between. It will either cement him in terms of just a legendary status for the foresight, or it will get him fired.
It's either going to be a parade level success or a massive failure, I believe. You know, I guess there's a middle ground, and the middle ground would be it doesn't bring a championship to Dallas, but Luka's, you know, doesn't fulfill his potential with the Lakers, and he's, you know, the kind of the Embiid type situation that I mentioned plays out. I guess there could be a middle ground, but there's no middle ground in people's feelings about it right now, that's for sure. And obviously this is a deal that is a massive risk for no other reason that it was horribly received by the Mavericks fan base. I mean, I saw the, you know, the protests and the kind of little impromptu shrine at the AAC, and obviously I've seen a bunch of stuff online, and you know, and I get it, man. Like, some franchises never get a talent like this. And to have him for 6.5 years to experience a lot of success, you know, they just came off a finals appearance. He led a pretty much a completely different cast to a conference finals just a few years ago as well. 5-time first team All NBA. You know, you feel like the prime's just about to begin. Like, I understand the frustration from the fans. Nico says he thinks that if they win, the frustration will go away. And you know, I think they'll have to win pretty big for that to happen.
Is this, you've covered sports in Dallas outside of just the Mavericks throughout your career. Is this the biggest, most vitriolic reaction you've seen from a fan base in Dallas over a decision in the DFW area?
Ooh, that's a good question. There's not another one that immediately comes to mind. You know, I can say that. I feel like with the Cowboys and with Jerry, it's just kind of like a constant vitriol. Yeah, so yeah. I can't think of like
slow burn.
I guess you'd probably have to go back to the divorce with Jimmy Johnson, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. I would say firing a coach who just won two or whatever. I don't know. I don't even remember if it's technical. Whatever. Moving on from a coach voluntarily who had just won two Super Bowls. I don't recall that vividly. Frankly, I was shipped off to a boarding school at the time, but I'm sure there was. But it was a different world then too. You couldn't just pick up a phone and start scrolling and see right. It all. You know what I mean? So in the modern times, I can't think of anything that can compare with this.
Tim, before we let you go, how many titles do the Mavs win with AD? How many does Luka get in L.A.?
I try to stay out of the prediction business.
Is one enough if the Mavs win one with AD? Is that enough to calm the...
My buddy Brian Windhorst, a fan favorite among Dallas fans, even more so than me, I would say, he's got a saying that winning a championship means you never have to apologize. And that does apply. If they win a championship with AD, then, then the trade was a success. There's been one championship in franchise history. If they match that, the trade's been a success. Having said that, if you ask me who's got better odds, Luka in L.A. or AD in Dallas, it's going to be Luka in L.A. simply for the fact that he's going to have a longer runway. Plus, there are obviously some clear advantages to building a championship team with the most glamorous franchise in the league in a place where everybody wants to live. Having said that, the Lakers aren't winning a championship this year.
Yeah, you're probably right. Hey, man, love you. Thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. I know you're busy.
All right, appreciate you, guys.
Tim McMahon. Join us here on 105 Through the Fan.
Always great.
Always, always.
Always full of useful information.
Yes, he is. Hey, we're going right back to the phones. 877-881-1053. Mikey Bassick is coming in. What are you smiling about?
You went very Jersey there. Hey, we're going right back to the phones.
I did not go very Jersey. Mikey Bassick's going to be in here at 9. I can't wait. I can't wait to let him get unleashed in crosstalk. Next on the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are commercial free. We have an amazing Tolo ticket giveaway for you turning it on, leaving it on, and trusting our coverage from Radio Row here in New Orleans. Zach Martin, and Brandon Aubrey sitting down with us at 8 o'clock. Bobby got that booking done on the home of the Cowboys, so you will want to hear what Zach Martin says about his future and the change from McCarthy to Schottenheimer. We are brought to you by Stella, the Low-T Center, and Best Buy Windows and Siding.
I didn't appreciate, as I was going back through editing it, I didn't appreciate the ball busting from Zach Martin about me getting the equipment set up. Didn't appreciate it. Was I a new guy's first day here? Is that what this is?
Little... I was a little surprised you weren't better with it.
Oh, I was fine. I was fine.
This it whole, took like, a good, like...
I can't hear... No, it was all set up correctly. The whole time on the recording obviously. Where everybody's saying they can't hear it, it's recording the whole time. I went back and found
but
it.
But should we have heard each other in the headphones?
Yeah.
No, that's that. Like, everybody was hearing other people. It's like, well, I can't hear myself. It's like, all right, well, that doesn't totally matter. All right, let's start, like, flipping stuff around and potentially knock it off if you want, but...
It took, like, it was awkward for a good 4 minutes as Bobby was trying to set this up.
It was two.
It was not.
It was two on the recording. It was 2 minutes.
Well, it felt like eight.
Yeah.
Because it was so awkward. They were looking at us like, are you guys the Cowboy station? Yeah. Haven't we been on this before?
Zach dropping the subtle hints. I can't hear myself. I can't hear anybody. I can't hear.
Yeah.
Very subtle.
All right. Zach Martin, Brandon Aubrey. We have a stalker alert. 8 o'clock this morning on DFW Sports Station. All right. Luka Doncic and the Laker press conference yesterday. Here's Luka responding to the criticism of him that has been leaked about conditioning and everything else.
I'm just excited, you know, to be here to start this new journey. And obviously, at some point I knew this was going to happen. But I would say I always take the high road. You know, I had my amazing moments in Dallas with all my teammates, coaches, and the most importantly, the fans. You know, they always supported me, and it was an amazing journey.
At some point, I knew this was going to happen. Some people took that as Lucas saying, I knew they were going to trade me one day. What I think he's saying is, I knew the smear campaign was going to happen at some point in time. That's the way I'm taking it.
I took that to mean, like, he knew at some point there would be a divorce because of him and Nico, is how I felt.
Really?
I mean, you saying it that way makes more sense.
I mean, we're both guessing.
No, but you say it that way makes more sense to me. But, like, when I hear it initially, I hear it and I go, like, that sound.
Because why would he be so devastated if he.
If he knew it was coming?
Somehow expected it to happen.
I guess he's just, like.
Eventually.
The way I looked at it was, like, he thought maybe. But see, he also said during the press conference yesterday that he knew he was always going to be a Maverick, or he thought he was always going to be a Maverick. So I guess he was just talking about the smear campaign.
Yeah, unless he's saying I knew this was coming in terms of, like, I knew eventually I was going to be a Laker at some point. That is a possibility too.
Markieff Morris has heard enough. He was a part of the trade as well, and here he is taken up for his still current teammate.
He's a great guy, man. Super low maintenance, don't need much. One of the only guys that I've been on the team with that will play through any injury if he can get on the court. I hear stuff about him not being in shape, but if you can go in an NBA game and get 30, 15, and 10 like it's nothing, then I don't really know what shape is. I'm confused at that part, but, you know. Yeah, and you'll see it really soon. You'll make the suggestion if he's in shape or not.
God, that's a scary quote. He's like, yeah, you're about to see it real soon. And again, another Luka advocate. You know, I'm waiting for someone. We're seeing a lot of text messages and hear a lot of whispers here on phones and Radio Row. Nothing from that locker room, though. There's been not 1% suggesting that Luka Doncic was a bad teammate or they had a problem with the way he went about his business.
And you mentioned there, you said, oh, there's another teammate. It's Markieff Morris, whose brother Marcus Morris has had so many issues with Luka during his career.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not throwing him under the bus. He's sitting there going like, nope, this is great. It's terrifying. When he comes back to Dallas, whenever that is, he's going to score 70 again. And yeah. It's going to be just cackling down the floor, looking for Nico.
There's going to be no cackling. He's going to... If X-ray vision was a thing or whatever came out of Clark Kent's eyes or whoever the superhero is, that's what it's going to be. There's going to be no cackling. He's going to stare holes through people.
Every reaction to every bucket will be what he did over Gobert in game two.
Or what was it?
That would be every reaction to every buck.
Was it the Timberwolves fans were trash talking about half court, and after every shot he'd stare at them like that kind of a thing? I mean, he's just
done it to a lot. Snoop.
Snoop.
I'm the person behind Snoop. Look, Bobby's going to continue to mourn. We have to address this viral conspiracy thing. What is this thing?
Okay, so
everyone's sending this to us.
All right, so about a year ago, I'd mentioned that there was like no confidence that gambling was going to get passed through to the Texas House. It wasn't even going to be on the ballot. The Adelson family bought the team. They are the basically the managing partners of the Sands Casino Resort in Vegas, right? And they bought the team wanting to bring gambling to Texas and build a casino around a Mavs new arena. The thought process is they had purchased land around Irving, Texas Stadium's old site. Well, they have funneled a lot of money towards the state for gambling, and it's not getting anywhere. And they know this. And I know this because I deal with lobbyists, Sean. So
is that a, I mean, that sounds like a huge miscalculation on their part.
Everyone,
do you think this was definitely going to happen before you get this team?
So billionaires work in the future, and I know this because I'm not one. But like, there are people who have bought acres of land for marijuana farms, right? They're just anticipating. They got the money. They're just anticipating.
Yeah.
The Adelson family is so rich. Spending $2 billion on the Mavericks and missing out on gambling is worth the maybe $10 billion you get in return. And if that doesn't work, you just sell the team.
Right.
So it's, for them, it's just a it's a worthwhile risk.
Also, when we talk about miscalculation, they did just trade Luka, and we're like, what? People are mad?
Yeah.
This is weird.
So
what's the estimated today value of the Mavericks after this deal? I want Forbes to send that.
Oh, wow.
You got
that's
Forbes
a
guy?
Great question. That's a great question.
How much
question.
Did you decrease?
So knowing that, all right, this conspiracy theory that has come out, it was really, really well done. It was by a guy named Chris Cradaville, who has posted this just unbelievable 6 to 8 step process here, where the first one is, you know, they trade him. Premise one, they trade him. There's a non-basketball explanation for what's going on. That's premise number one. Number two is that the group has no interest in basketball. Like, the Adelson group has no interest in basketball. They're just a means to an end, which is opening up. The white whale of gambling is Texas. From BetMGM to Caesars, I mean, everyone is like, dude, Texas is the white whale. That's what we want. We can't wait for it to happen. And that would be the Mavs with the destination casino. Number three is that, you know, obviously they're trying to push the law, but there has been no grounds, and the Texas legislation session, they only meet every 2 years, which I didn't know.
Wow.
Texas legislators only meet every 2 years to deal with issues, to vote. It's not an everyday thing.
Seems like it should be a little more often.
Should be. So they need leverage. The leverage to get this gambling bill through is a threat. The carrot, which is their money, failed. They need a threat. The threat is, hey, you pass through gambling, or we might, you know, move our business out of state.
Right.
That terrifies states to move business away, especially a state like Texas, where it's all about, hey, bring business here, bring business here. So the goal is to open up this destination casino resort, and if they make the Mavericks so bad that ticket sales go down, value goes down, the NBA is not allowing you to move out of Dallas. The market's too big. But if you're not a viable franchise anymore, if you're not making money, you're not selling tickets, you could convince them when the lease is up in a few years, hey, it's time to go. It allows you to move them to Vegas. Dallas will get another team in 2 seconds.
Lease is up when? 2030?
But there's probably a thing where you can get out of it a couple years early, buy your way out of it. But
trade
Sacramento will move here. Memphis maybe. The Hornets. There's a dozen teams that will move here. They would be a massive upgrade. And the Adelsons get what they want, which is they get to build a casino around a basketball team. And the Mavericks
The NBA wants a team in Vegas.
And the NBA wants a team in Vegas. And they don't have to charter a new owner. They have one that is one of the richest in the world. There are only 3 owners in the world of sports that have more money. And only 2 of them are American. that's owners in the United States. That's the Walton family in Denver. That's Ballmer. That's it. That's it. So that's the premise that if the local support is abandoned, they have the out to move.
What's premise two? That the ownership group has no interest in basketball?
They're not a this is not a basketball
family. So I will say that part of it, when they made the ownership, we read that article in the New York Post that detailed everything Patrick Dumont's done to try and get in place for the NBA for a debt. Like he is operating it. So if he's, I do think that part of the premise is at least a little off because they've clearly laid out that he's tried to get involved in the NBA for a decade.
I don't know what this guy does, but I love his Twitter account, Joe Pump Liano. Sounds like one of yours.
I've heard of him.
He puts out really good stuff. He said, I've seen a lot of people saying the Mavericks traded Luka so they can move to Vegas. That's not going to happen. If the new ownership group wanted to crush the fan base and kill all interest, they would have traded for a laundry list of draft picks, not a top 10 win now player like Anthony Davis. One. Two, the Adelson family already owns about $20 billion in Vegas Sands stock, providing them plenty of exposure to gambling. They are also actively moving business out of Las Vegas. The company sold its Vegas casino several years ago and now primarily operates resorts in Asia. Three, Dallas is a much larger media market than Vegas, 5 versus 40.
I think we're 4, by the way, now, Joe.
Yeah. Well. And the Adelson Dumont families only bought the team because the plan was to build a mixed-use development with a casino around the arena. 4, the NBA is not going to sacrifice a huge expansion fee. Everyone keeps bringing this up as the reason it's not going to happen. There's a $5 to $6 billion expansion fee for Dallas to move to Las Vegas instead. I don't know how the expansion fee works, but they keep saying the NBA is not going to pay that $5 to $6 billion.
You could theoretically get the expansion fee here instead of Vegas.
I'm not buying this. I want to be on record.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
I don't buy it. I think they want gambling to get passed here. They already have their foothold in everything in
the
Vegas.
Adelsons. Yeah. Yeah, they do. They do. I think they are realizing that it's not happening right now, especially under this, certainly not in this legislative session. Yeah. So it might be 2 years from now because we don't know who the governor is going to be. Actually, we know who the governor is going to be. More importantly, you don't know who the lieutenant governor is going to be because it's not just the governor who puts stuff on the ballot. You know, it's other people that won't even allow it to be put on the ballot. That's the issue.
Here's the thing is that all those reasons make sense as to why they wouldn't move. So why would they greenlight a move that's so bad that people go, clearly the only explanation is you don't want to stay here? If they really I can't
because
I,
they don't
I can't
because
wrap my head around
because
it.
They don't believe he is solid enough as an individual to lead their franchise.
Would you say
they think he has character flaws? They don't think he. Look, we all got to stop being freaking liars here, too. All right. During playoff series, when he complains and when he cries, we get a lot. You do get a lot of messages saying they're never going to win a title with him. If he's worn down, people, you have half the city saying he's getting double teamed. He's carrying these group of scrubs. And then you have the other half saying he's fat and he's out of shape. He's a ball hog. He doesn't play the right way. He jacks up his, step back three near half court. Let's stop acting like these things are not consistently said. Now, it's not from the lovers, but you do have that as a topic when Luka has his moments. Nico Harrison is a regimented former basketball player, West Point background. He grew up in the industry around the most Michael Jordan-esque preparer that you could ever dream of in Kobe Bryant. So when he sees Luka, right, it's like you hanging around a who is someone I wouldn't want to drink with because they're Mr. Fitness Guru. You don't want to go out with that person. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're
lean and mean, and I'm watching my calorie count. I don't want to go out and party with that person.
That has more than 2 carbs.
You go ahead and stay fit. That's Nico, I believe, looked at Luka Doncic's work ethic with disgust. This is what I believe. He is a regimented, straight-laced dude, and he had no respect for the way Luka conducted himself as a professional. Nico is just one of these guys, the 1% in the history of sports, who didn't put that to the side for the talent. He didn't put that to the side and say, I'm just going to deal with it. I'm going to put up with it because this is a global icon. He goes, nope, that's not the way this organization needs to be led. this guy doesn't have all the intangibles. We're not going to win a championship or multiple with him. That's why it happened.
Yeah,
he does not respect Luka Doncic and the intangibles.
Then that's even worse. That's even worse than just a straight basketball move that you think, like, I think this is for the best of it. Because, like, you're not in here to run, like, a military school and go, like, discipline. Like,
he's here to build a team with a culture that he sees fit. And he doesn't think that Luka Doncic represents the right type of culture with the way that Luka operates.
Then he's going to have to tear it down to the studs then. Because the way it sounds from the guys in the locker room is that they didn't think it was a problem. So that means that there's a whole culture-wide problem.
Well, he doesn't have to tear it down to the studs because he's got a team that many people think is better.
Yeah, but here's
and he's got a team that many people are saying is the second best team in the Western Conference. I'm just saying what people are saying. He's got a team that people think, hey, he's going to try to get Kevin Durant next. Like, he doesn't have to tear down anything.
But if it's about,
get over it.
But if it's about the regiment, like you say, then clearly if there's like not an issue locker wide with the way that Luka was doing things. That would seem to indicate that there's a locker in there that doesn't view it as regimented as he does. And that would seem to be, if he's so married to this is the idea, then it doesn't matter about the talent. Because he didn't care about the talent with Luka.
He's talking about Nico? Yeah, if that's his thought process. Because if he wants it like this, toughness and regimented, you get a guy that is... Maybe people don't think he's tough.
Markieff just said, he's like, I've never seen a guy play through more injury if he can get on the court than Luka.
And like,
I think Nico Harrison thinks Luka Doncic is, you know, untapped. He doesn't care what Luka can do at 80%. He's mad that Luka's not at 100%. I'm just telling you what I think. And to your point of, look what you just got in Anthony Davis. Well, that doesn't mean Anthony Davis isn't trying to do everything the right way. He may, you know, everyone says Anthony Davis is like a Boy Scout and he's a great culture guy. We keep hearing that. I don't think he doesn't view Anthony Davis as soft. He views Anthony Davis as unlucky. His body has broken down on him, but he's the right type of dude.
Fragile.
He views Luka Doncic as missing games because Luka doesn't put in the work. And Anthony is just his body failing him.
Yeah.
That's the way I think Nico's viewing it.
I think you're right.
I'm not defending it. I'm just telling you what has to be his viewpoint.
I think he is looking at it like that. My issue is that only starts to matter when you're too old for it not to be able to work. When you just went through last NBA postseason and you led the league led the playoffs in every offensive category, and you thought 8 months later it was a good idea to trade that for a guy who hadn't been to, who had
bro I
he
agree.
Had he had what was the last time that the AD even won a playoff series?
You said it earlier, Sean. Like, this is
Anthony Davis is scared in a lot of moments. Like, he's fine some days with just scoring like 8 points. I've seen it way too many times. It's maddening.
You said it earlier. Like, this is every turn, every press conference, every bit of information that comes out, this is getting worse. Like, it's like the reverse of what's gone on with Schottenheimer, which people still dislike the Schottenheimer thing, but in general, like, The peak of people being upset was the moment they hired Brian Schottenheimer. And since then, some of it's tapered off for some people. The peak of people being upset about the Luka trade was not the second. Like, it's gone up. Like, people keep going, like, this is worse. This isn't better. Like, that's the scary thing about it. It's like, okay, what's tomorrow going to bring? What piece of information will next week bring?
Bobby, here is a fact I'm about to tell you. We all think that we're right. There's a chance, and what I'm saying is a fact, it's not an opinion. There's a chance, a small one, in my opinion, that this works.
There's a chance.
There's a possibility that Luka Doncic breaks down, does not stay healthy, the Mavs luck out with a title, maybe two. Luka never wins one in L.A. or wherever he ends up. Mm-hmm. Nico Doncic will have been proven right. Just because we all have these reactions doesn't mean we're correct.
Yeah.
Well, our opinions are not facts. I'm just giving the opposite perspective.
Everything
about it is a lose. The L becomes a larger letter for them by the day, the Mavericks and Nico. Mm. A bigger, fatter L. From the press conference to the reasoning to the smear campaign, all that stuff. I'm just saying we're acting like we know what the outcome is going to be. Yeah. We don't.
Right, right. And you're not talking about the what they got back in the trade, because there will literally never be anything to justify what they got back in the trade. Even if they're right that Luka breaks down something like that, they could have gotten more. There's no doubt about it. So we're literally just talking about the idea of Luka going, not because that forever will be. If the report is true that Pelinka talks you off of a player and an extra one, the fact that other executives are saying we would have given you everything if you would have told us Luka was available, that's the part that's...
Oh, the return will never, ever, ever. That is an unjustified...
They could win a title for the next 5 years and that would still not be okay.
It's so much about the right kind of guy, right? That right kind of player.
Yeah.
Does anyone have a question about, like... Did he not stick with Kobe through the rape trial with Nike when he was when he was there?
Yeah, loyalty.
The what?
Yeah, I mean it was like this a big example of loyalty people talked about with Nico when he got hired.
That was a stage in which maybe Nico was trying to be on the come up.
Oh, yeah, so it's okay.
He wasn't established.
It's okay at that time, you know, like you just okay to just change your morals or whatever.
I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying maybe that's a little bit of the snake in Nico of, I'm attached to this guy. I know he's a global superstar.
He's a golden goose.
He's a golden goose. So, I don't know. Maybe that was a little selfishness. I have no
idea.
What
year was that? That was 04, I think.
I don't remember.
And, I mean,
and by the way, I personally, in the I know Kevin Hagelin would destroy me over this. I remember during that time, I didn't think Kobe was guilty of the accusations. He was guilty of cheating on his wife, but I was like, this girl, I remembered her. I thought she slept around and all this and that, but maybe I'm biased because I was a Kobe fan. But I remember in the moment saying, like, I don't think he did it. So I just want to put that out there.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It has been a wild sports weekend in the Metroplex. And if you missed the other news this morning, Myles Garrett, the reigning defensive player of the year, has officially requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns. But right now we bring on former Dallas Maverick broadcaster. We love him. It is Devin Harris. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Terrified, Devin.
Yeah.
Horrible.
How did you find out about this? Because everyone continues to say, wow, it feels like a shock to most of us. How did you hear about this? And did you believe the first person who told you?
I'll say I found out like everybody else found out. Initially, I think when Chance put it out, I thought everybody thought he was hacked. And as the reports came through, you know, it became more and more real. And it's just one of those things that you don't think it ever can happen. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the fact that, like, they kept this really, really tight and nobody got a wince of what they were thinking about. But, yeah, I think just shocked and found out like everybody else.
The prevailing, I'll just speak for myself. I don't want to lump everybody else in, though I know other people have this opinion. The thing that I don't totally understand, and I would love your take or whatever you can tell me about this, is if you wanted to trade Luka because you think X, Y, and Z, I get all of that. This just feels like an odd decision to shop a generational player at one place, which is what it feels like happened and why I feel like perhaps we did not get anywhere near fair value.
To speak to that, I would say what I've heard is we've seen with different situations when guys are shot publicly, a.k.a. the Jimmy Butler situation.
Right.
And I think they were just trying to avoid that kind of circus. Now they might not have gotten everything back for him, but, I mean, they still got a pretty damn good player in AD. They really believe in Max Christie, and obviously you got a first-round pick on top of that. But I think they were just trying to avoid that kind of media circus distraction around the team where they're still trying to win a championship here. They feel like AD definitely gives them a shot to do so, you know, one of the better two-way players. And if you can avoid the kind of distraction that comes with a trade of this magnitude, that they were definitely going to go that way.
I don't know if you remember this at all. We were talking about how Max Christie and Jane Hardy were in the same draft. Do you happen to remember going back? Like, I know Max Christie went a couple picks before Hardy. If the Mavs really liked him, if they would have taken him at 37 instead, had he still been available?
I have not heard that, but I think, you know, Max and what he's done and as a starting player, I think he's turned a lot of heads.
as far as his two-way ability, his ability to shoot the three. The Mavs are coveting a wing defender. Now, we get a very young one that's coming into his own. And like I said, that's the first thing kind of Nico told us. He was like, don't sleep on Max Christie. We're really excited about, you know, his addition and what he can do.
Devin Harris joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Was there ever a hint that there was tension on or off the court amongst anybody with Luka? Was that a feeling around there?
It wasn't a feeling. I just think with the looming Supermax contract up and coming, and Nico pretty much said this is in his press yesterday.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
Once you put that on the table, like, you're on the clock. Now, whether he accepts it, which could be a great thing, or he declines it, like, you're on the clock. And they just felt like they wanted to kind of get ahead of it. I don't think, like you said yesterday, there wasn't any indication that Luka would not have signed it if it offered to him, but they didn't feel comfortable going that route, and that's why they made the move that they did.
So, Devin, I'm going to do this. I know you went to the Nets for Jason Kidd, and I don't mm-hmm. know. I have no clue what your audience was like in New Jersey at the time, like if they were excited about you getting there or they were just disappointed with Kidd. But I think Anthony Davis is not going to be welcomed here. I don't think he's going to get booed. Don't get me wrong. It's a very cordial fan base. I've played in New York. You've played in New York. It's different.
Right.
But I think, how's Anthony Davis going to feel when most likely it's not going to be a big reception for him here?
I can't answer that question for Anthony Davis. I do feel like my reception in New York was well welcomed, but I think it's a different scenario where, you know, J. Kidd asked out, right? As opposed to the team, you know, just trading him without any consent. So I think that's the difference that we're looking at here. And I think Anthony Davis is smart enough to understand, you know, the magnitude of what's happened. But also I feel like, although it may not be the reception of, you know, coming down from the heavens, but this move that Nico made is about winning, and winning cures all. So if he can come here and win at the highest level, I think that's what they're banking on.
So let's talk about that a little bit more and how you think, specifically Anthony Davis. I know you were just kind of talking about Max Christie as well. How Anthony Davis fits on this team. I know he'd wanted to play the four more. How do you see, like, Davis and Gafford working together, or hopefully once we get into the playoffs, Davis and Lively? Like, kind of give us your thoughts about how that front court could all break down.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely going to start him at the four. He may finish games at the five, but he's definitely going to play more four. Defensively, I mean, we're going to be a monster. I mean, between, you know, PJ and Max Christie and AD and Gafford and Lively, I mean, we got defense pretty much covered. It's going to be fun to watch. Offensively, I think they still have some things to figure out philosophy wise of how they're going to make it work. I don't think it's a concern, but, you know, from a chemistry standpoint, it's going to take a little time to gel. I mean, we saw the situation when we got Kyrie that didn't happen right away. But when we got PJ and Gaff last season, it was seamless. I mean, only time will tell what that chemistry looks like and how it all fits together. You hope it, you know, we can get it figured out by the playoffs. But I think defensively, though, this is we definitely have one of the better defensive teams in the NBA now.
How do you feel like the guys in that room take it? Like, initially, it's kind of feel like a shock to them too, and they got to realize we got to go play basketball now again.
Yeah, I think everybody that I talked to yesterday, I mean, from the staff, from players, everybody was a little shocked, a little shell shocked. Now, have to go on to play a team like Cleveland after a move like this, I don't think everybody was in the right mindset. But like you said, yeah, we're still professional. Everybody's still got a job to do. Hopefully, guys coming back from their rest and playing against Philly tomorrow would be a better outing. But yeah, I think, I don't think anybody would blame guys for being a little shocked and being out of sorts after that, after being making a move like this.
For Max Christie, you'd kind of talked about it, but for people not familiar, this is somebody who's moved pretty rapidly from second round pick to starting essentially half of the Lakers games. this year, what all does he bring to the table?
Well, he's been guarding pretty much their best player on a nightly basis. I think he's also shooting about 38, 39% from three. So, you know, we get another 3-and-D type of guy, young, athletic. And like I said, he just kind of fits into the time frame. And they were, like I said, they're really excited about that addition. They were looking for another wing defender, and they secured that.
When you think back, though, to the Luka time, do you have a specific thing that sticks with you about him? Is there a play that you're going to always have, like, snapped into your mind about, and that's what that dude was whenever he was here?
I mean, there's so many. Mm-hmm. I mean, how can we just, you know, put it down to one? I mean, my first year with him, I mean, the shot in the corner against Portland, right? Watching him score 73 against Atlanta. The shot against Rudy Gobert in the Western Conference Finals. I mean, those are some of the ones that just off the top of my head that always come to mind.
The tears, sorry. Okay. The tears are starting to come right now.
Nico remembers him giving up a wide open dunk when the Mavericks started off 5-7. He remembers he couldn't emotionally control himself in game 3 of an NBA Finals that was still available. So that's what Nico remembers.
What would be your message, Devin, then, to the fans? Because I know Nico's like, kind of concerned with the fans. More importantly, you've said it a couple of times, like, it's about winning and winning now and potentially in a tight window. What would be your message to the fans who are like, I don't know what to do this morning? Like, my favorite player is gone. The guy who I have all the jerseys of is gone.
Yeah, it's definitely tough emotionally, especially when you're so much invested in a player. And I feel like when you draft a guy and you watch him grow into this global superstar, like, everybody's kind of with him. But I would just probably say, let's look for a load of patience. I mean, we don't know what this trade is going to be like. This is going to be kind of a wait and see type of thing. But the motivation behind the front office is, you know, they believe this move gets them over the hump. Now, whether that happens or not, only time will tell. But we got a pretty good player in return. And whether you think it's enough or not, I mean, Anthony Davis is a great two-way player.
Yeah.
And he's won on every level that he's played at.
What's the boldest thing? Go ahead.
I just got to ask for patience. I mean, like I said, I understand the the upset of the fans, and I get it. But, you know, this front office made this move with winning a championship in mind. And whether you agree with that or not, I would say just give them a little bit of patience.
I'm really glad that in my personal life or my professional life, bold moves that I make don't have to be addressed by everybody.
I don't know
how you feel about that. Like, if you make bold moves in your life and only your family knows about it and they're like, I don't know about that, but nobody questions you, that feels much nicer than, I appreciate Nico facing the media and everything yesterday and answering the questions.
I mean, when you make a move like that, like, yeah, you gotta face the music. And you know, he believes in the move, and he's got everybody on board. Obviously, ownership had to sign off on it. And like he said in the press conference, like, whether this happens and be successful, only time will tell, and that he'll be judged on that at that appropriate time. But I think right now, I think there should be some excitement about what this could possibly be in the near future.
Well, this is how I felt whenever you got traded away, though, Devin. So this is two times in my lifetime.
It definitely gave me a little bit of PTSD, I'm not going to lie. And Jay Kidd brought it up in the press conference. Like, you know, I've been part of big trades. I'm like, yeah, you have.
Well, man, thank you very, very much for all the insight. And we'd love to talk with you, obviously, anytime you're free.
Well, for sure. Appreciate it, guys.
There you go. Devin Harris right here on 105.3 The Fan.
He's doing everything he can to try and help us get through this.
I get it. Look, and Nico did say one thing that I was like, I'm probably inclined to agree with that. But man, this is really putting it out there on the table. If it doesn't work, like, this is all you'll ever be remembered for a lot of us. But he goes, and when you win, hopefully that will take some of that away. And I get that.
I don't know. This is the thing.
Interesting.
I don't know. If Chicago had traded Michael Jordan, would they, after the first three championships, you know, I mean, he leaves and everything, but they're like, you know, now we're trading him. Are people like, you know what, though? We won. That was great. Or are they like, no, it's the greatest player we've ever seen walk onto a basketball court. Why are we doing this? Why are we just going to give him to somebody else? He's a guy that we drafted. He wanted to be here. He loved this part of it. Why would you do it? It's one of those where you're just like, you just want to know the real why. A lot of times, Kevin, for me, it's how much of things are spin and how much of things have another story that we don't know.
Yeah.
And then how much of it's true. I think there's three things that are always involved there.
Plus, there can be people out there who believe what they believe that are just heavily in the minority.
Yeah.
Like, you can, that doesn't mean you're spinning.
Nico might completely believe that this move is going to be the difference because, man, we could not get him to stop whining to the refs. It was really affecting, and that's the biggest problem, or whatever it is. He could totally believe that.
This last part probably won't surprise you, but remember in 2020 when Mark Cuban said, if I had to choose between my wife and keeping Luca, catch me at my lawyer's office preparing for a divorce. Mark Cuban came out yesterday and said that he had nothing to do with this Luca trade.
Oh, so he didn't have to go to the lawyer's office.
Well, he chose his wife.
Yeah, I guess. Man, that would
shame to show. He really had nothing to do with this.
No,
he has nothing to do with
it. Yes.
He cheers for the basketball team like we do, except he has about a 7% ownership stake.
So the people that were crapping on this morning, I know we've done that in the past. This is not on him. Although I do think it would have been hilarious if he put out on social media, I guess I chose my wife. Like, I do think that would have been a funny bit.
You know how women are.
Yes, no. I know, PJ.
Thanks, PJ.
Yeah, buddies, welcome back. ESPN NBA reporter Dave McMiniman joins us now here live from Radio Row. No, live on the telephone. Live on the telephone here as we're covering the Luka Anthony Davis story here on 105 Through the Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. Thanks for joining us. How the heck are you? Okay, Dave's going to join us shortly. Segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels and get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, you know, I guess either, you know, Nico just totally got owned. And, you know, in his first big trade of his career, I mean, he's had some really nice trades up to this point. Either he got owned, maybe, you know, his friendship with Rob Pelinka cost him, or, you know, maybe Rob was a predator and saw weakness, detected weakness in his friend Nico, who used to work with him at Nike and, you know, helped negotiate a lot of the Kobe Bryant deals. They had a long, long history together. And, you know, if that's the case, you know, I would love it if there was a more experienced ownership right now. I think this is maybe the first time since Mark Cuban sold the team that I'm like, oh, my God, what have we got into with owners that maybe, you know, don't know the right time to step in, as now they are an organization down a superstar in a league defined by superstar eras, as Dave McMiniman joins us now here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm a little fatigued from a long road trip being punctuated by the wildest trade I've ever had the privilege to cover. So, just kind of a little bleary-eyed, scratching my head still a little bit 48 hours later. But
yeah, I think a lot of people in DFW can definitely relate to that right now. I'd say that describes a lot of the audience. Now, let me ask you this, Dave, since we're looking for an explanation on why and how this happened, the NFL answering a lot of questions about conspiracies with the Chiefs getting all the calls. Does conspiracy have any place in this Luka story? Did we lose Dave?
Did we lose Dave?
Oh, man.
Davey. I heard a little bit of a dupe. You know, when maybe it's the
the Bluetooth
maybe died.
I think the Bluetooth went out, or maybe that was the
Dave said the call dropped.
Maybe that was the NBA overlords. You know, checking in on the line. They didn't like the nature of my question.
Big but NBA
ratings are down. The Lakers are getting old and stale. You need somebody to reinvigorate that. I mean, that makes about as much sense as anything. You know, the other one is, somebody thought in an era dominated by on-the-ball superstars, a power forward who can rebound and block shots is, you know, just as good. Dave, welcome back to the show. Did you catch my question? Is there any room for conspiracy in this Luka Doncic trade story?
I mean, I think there's a natural human response to kind of look for a conspiracy because on its face, it just doesn't make sense. You know, if the reasoning, as Nico Harrison has presented, is purely that the team is frustrated with Luka's ability to stay conditioned, take care of his body, and wonder what that investment will look like down the line, if that is purely the reason, then one would think that the first step over the next year and a half before you'd have to make that decision to offer him a $345 million extension would be to leave no stone left unturned and give every single possible resource to your strength, performance, and conditioning staff to help him with that. ESPN's Ramona Shelburne and Tim McMahon reported that actually the Mavericks fired some people on the performing staff that Luka had strong relationships with. That's kind of counterintuitive to me. So because of that, as we struggle to make logical sense with this deal, the conspiracy thoughts can come in. Now, if your conspiracy theory you're going to present to me is that the NBA made this happen, well, why? Like what? Like what? What's the incentive to the Mavericks that the NBA is giving in order for this to occur? That's why, I'm just kind of like, I get why people would have the instinct to have a conspiracy theory, but then you got to tell me what the theory is.
Okay, so Lakers get Luka, ratings in the league go up, and, I think here the worry is that the NBA would help you move the team to Las Vegas.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing that happening because the plan for Las Vegas is expansion, not relocation. There's new ownership groups that are ready to buy in at a premium into this league for Las Vegas and Seattle. The NBA has been vetting those potential buyers for years now, and Adam Silver has said repeatedly that his goal was to get the new long-term television contract finished, and then the priority for the league would be expansion. So I just don't buy that one. I did see some Twitter thread floating around today, putting the pieces together, claiming that the new ownership group for the Mavericks have had some troubles with their gambling aspirations in Texas and may, want to try to bottom the team out and then move them in order to be able to have their kind of casino operation up and running in Las Vegas. It seems like a pretty far cry. And also, like, it seems like something where why would Nico Harrison attach himself to that? Nico could get another job. It's not like it's one and done. The only time he could run a front office would be with the Mavericks. I just don't buy it. That doesn't pass the smell test for me.
So do you think Nico genuinely believes that he got fair value in the trade then?
Again, I am processing just like the rest of you guys are, all the fans are in both markets in Los Angeles and Dallas. The only thing that would make sense to me, and again, I'm not saying this is a justification, but it could make sense to me, is that these habits that Nico has talked about, that Luka has, make him just so frustrating to be around that in Nico trying to establish a culture decided that, we could win that way with Luka because he's tremendous. But there's another way that we could win as well, and I prefer to go that way. That's the only kind of like logical, wrap my head around it, humanistic response that I could somehow justify Nico's decision.
ESPN's Dave McMenamin with us here on the G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. We've spent a lot of time about Luka because the fans here are mourning, obviously, but Anthony Davis, what do you think about that fit now as a Maverick? What's the version of Anthony Davis that Dallas is getting? How's his health from your understanding right now?
Dallas is getting a tremendous player, a guy at 31 years old who is smack dab in his prime, who's been playing the best basketball of his career consistently now for 24 straight months. When the trade happened, I looked back and I added up all the regular season games, the playoff games, the in-season tournament games, and the play-in tournament games from January 2023 to January 2025, now February when this deal went down. and Anthony Davis and all those games that was close to 200 games in that time frame had played in 92.5% of them. So the street clothes moniker, it's old, it's inaccurate. He is a true two-way talent. And talk about, you know, being around the guy every day. He is a breath of fresh air. He treats people with respect. He's humble. He's driven, great teammate, and a heck of a talent. So he is ready to plug in with this Mavericks team and play championship caliber basketball on a nightly basis.
What's the funniest response you've gotten from any league personnel or GM or something around the league?
Someone texted me that, you know, I know the league does drug testing for players. We need to start doing it for executives.
Yeah, are teams upset that this has made the Lakers potentially great again?
I haven't heard that. I mean, I think there's always a level of professional jealousy that comes with the Lakers, and you know, people think they are. Yeah, I think I did a podcast with Craig Kilborn earlier today, who's a big Wolves fan. He described the Lakers franchise as being born on third base. So, I mean, yeah, they have an inherent advantage being in Southern California. It's you know, being by the ocean, and you know, it's a cool place to live. I would say this, as the league has changed so much and so many ownership groups have turned over, the Lakers, in some sense, are at a disadvantage because they are a mom-and-pop shop. This is the loan business that the Buss family is involved with. So it's not like this is their side quest while they're making all their venture capital money as their main gig and have endless resources to throw at the team in order to make it competitive. There is a they work hard to keep this team competitive just like everybody else. Of course, they have the advantage of the location, but listen, with the new CBA, that advantage has been flattened as much as possible. And they're under all sorts of restrictions, just like other teams are. So, you know, I'm sure there's always going to be some professional jealousy just because of the Lakers brand and the 17 championships and all that stuff. But I think most teams are better off figuring out ways they can win than figuring out ways to try to stop the Lakers from winning.
Okay, speaking of winning, final question. Do you think the Mavs could do anything else here as the deadline approaches? Could you see this roster back in the finals?
On the second question, certainly, yes. I think I could see them back in the finals. I think that's part of the reason why I was a fan of the Lakers, even if they didn't trade for Luka or something like that, trade for something with the team. Because I think the West is a lot of parity there. You know, OKC has the most wins, but I think they're beatable in the seven-game series, as the Dallas Mavericks proved last year. So certainly I think the Mavericks, if they have health on their side, there's a pathway for them to get to the finals. In terms of other moves to be made, as we saw with the Fox deal going down last night, we're going to have a very active period leading up to Thursday with more deals. And so as more deals occur, there's more deals that come on your plate that you might not even have envisioned as being available until another deal opened that up. So I would imagine the Mavericks stay active. I don't look at their roster and say, like, they need X. You know, another player we haven't mentioned, Max Christie, he's been great for the Lakers the last 25 games or so. Mavs fans are going to really like him too. So I think the Mavericks are in good shape, but obviously, with AD at 31 years old and Kyrie at 31 years old, they should be in win-now mode. So try to get that team as good as it can be.
I'll drink to that, Dave. Thank you so much. And I guess you can rest sometime in June at this point, buddy. Best of luck to
yeah,
you.
That's right. Thanks, guys.
There he goes, Dave McMiniman, ESPN, here with you on 105.3 The Fan. Kind of compared it to a Pat Riley saying goodbye to LeBron situation. Like, dude just does not match our culture and, you know, what we've built. And, you know, I guess the Heat have gotten back to the finals once since they let LeBron go. So
yeah, but, I mean, even Pat Riley was flying from South Florida to Vegas to sit down with LeBron and his team to still try and convince him, despite all of their disagreements and issues that they may have with each other. It's still LeBron James. It's still the talent. Can we please find a way to make this work?
Yeah. Well said. Okay, so we have Tim Cato, All City Dallas, coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll get a local insider here to talk about this massive Mav story. But Krusty's Corner coming up next. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, we've got a guest that will be on with us
here shortly. Oh, that's right, Craig Gass.
Craig Gass is standing right here in the wings. He's in the bullpen, and I'm bringing him in for Krusty's Corner. We'll do that next.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. About to talk with Bobby Marks, NBA on ESPN. What happens next? Segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen if you or a loved one's injured in a car, truck wreck. Call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. And a good evening, Bobby. Thanks for joining us. How the heck are you?
I'm good. How we doing?
Well, you know, we're trying to make sense of it and hoping for the best.
Yeah.
Are the Mavs going to do something else here, or do you think Nico believes this group right here can win it all?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got the flexibility to go out and do something else. Certainly when you get that pick from the Lakers in 29, now you dip below the luxury tax and you've given yourself more flexibility below the first apron. They were literally pressed against, I think, about $500,000. This actually, as I said, gives them that flexibility. I think you need to, you know, certainly can you get another guard? You know, you send out Luka, you get, you know, Max Christie, who's a, you know, big wing, and certainly AD. I think that's certainly a ball handling guard a priority for you. So I would, you know, listen, you, as you guys have followed Nico, you know, this trade certainly shows that he is probably the most aggressive general manager out there, and I don't think they'll be content as far as just because they made a trade late Saturday night as far as where this roster is.
So it's hard to say considering how out of the blue this one came, what all could be being discussed. But I mean, what's out there? Is it Jimmy Butler in play? Could Kevin Durant be in play if the Suns can't get Jimmy? Talk to us about the options that he might have.
I don't see either guys are in play. I don't see Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, it would cost you four players probably. You know, I think that's a little bit too rich as far as going out there. I think if Kevin Durant were ever traded, it's hard to see, you know, as far as, you know, I know they've got the picks and, you know, as far as, you know, from a player standpoint, I don't see that as a realistic option. Certainly, you know, hey, things change in the next 3 days. I would probably cross both those guys kind of off the list there.
Bobby, from somebody that's done these deals in the past, what do you think and how do you evaluate the return the Mavericks got for a player of Luka Doncic's caliber?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many layers. I mean, how much time do we have? There's a lot of layers to this, and I know I know Nico and probably the front of the office has probably been like a pinata as far as I think there's two ways to look at it. I understand if you weren't comfortable paying Luka the $345 this summer. I always say that teams know what's under the hood other than the other 29 teams. And if there was you weren't comfortable, I think that's one thing. I think this is the first time I've seen it done where basically a player of this stature was not opened up to the rest of the other, 28 teams. But I think the direction was that certainly that Anthony Davis was the guy they wanted all along if they were ever going to trade him. And they're looking to continue to win now. You could look at it the other way. If you did open it up, you know, what would you have been able to bring back? That's the big unknown. I don't think any of us, you know, certainly it would be the most picks ever, probably. But as we've seen, you know, if you really wanted picks, you would have asked for the Lakers 2031 first also. So obviously that was not as, as big of a priority as far as getting a guy like AD. But I do think, certainly it shrinks the window of this group. It shrinks the window where you had a generational 25-year-old on your roster who, let's face it, he has proven that he can win with less. He has proven that you can carry, you know, he can put you on his shoulders and get you to a conference finals here. And now you have a 32-year-old center, and certainly with Kyrie and his early 30s. I think the timeline has certainly shrunk to pretty long until I think there's probably a two to three year window with this group.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby, that's sort of the way that Nico Harrison ended the presser yesterday of like the future to me is 3 to 4 years from now. The future 10 years from now, they'll probably bury me and J-Kid by then, or we'll bury ourselves. I mean, is that somebody who actually has the franchise's best interest in mind?
Well, I mean, listen, I mean, the results on the court are going to determine if the franchise's best interest, because I was saying this with Brian Windhorst off air today. I said, listen, you know, the bar is pretty high, man. Like, you get to an NBA Finals, like, I don't think the fan base is going to accept losing in the first round this year. And, you know, or never getting, you know, you get to a conference finals in what, like, I don't know, 3 out of 5 years or whatever, you know, the bar is, that's the bar to get deep into the playoffs here. It will be a massive failure if this team, you know, can't. I mean, right now they're in the play-in, and we'll see what happens when some guys get back. But the goal is not just to get into the playoffs with this group. You make one of these trades, it's to put yourself in a position to try to win a championship.
It's Bobby Marks, ESPN, with us on The Fan. You know, up to this point, Nico had done such a great job of building this team around Luka and Kyrie, but it makes me wonder now, like, what's the state of his reputation? Do you think Nico could get another job today after making this move?
Well, listen, I would say, let's see what the results are. You know, they played the one game yesterday, and I don't know if I can chalk that up to the, certainly the trade. I mean, there probably was the after effect as far as the trade. I think we just wait and we see. But at the end of the day, I mean, his track record shows that he is not afraid to turn over the team. You know, whether you go to the Western Conference Finals you went to the NBA Finals last year and you added Najee and Clay and you added a lot of new faces there. And now you lose your franchise player. And the resume of Nico will speak on what happens on the court, what the results are on the court.
Had you heard anything about Luka being like a bad guy to work with or a bad investment in the future for any reason?
Listen, I think, you know, I'll let the what Luka does on the court speak. I mean, the league isn't filled with 450 choir boys. You know, I mean, I think that's the beauty of it. Everybody's got their own personality here, as far as it. So, you know, the front office can answer if he wore on them or his actions on the court or fitness or, you know, I think I'm interested to see when Luka comes back, probably within the next week from this injury, where he is. I'm interested to see when he plays. I think Dallas plays him twice in the next month, I guess. So he, from what I know, never got in trouble off the court. Was terrific to the community there. Gave back a ton, and I think that probably speaks for itself.
Well done, Bobby. Appreciate your insights. Enjoy covering this story, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Salute to you. Bobby Marks, ESPN, here on 105.3 The Fan. We're out of here, okay? Fan After Dark's going to take over. We got to run to the airport, catch a bird to New Orleans. Back tomorrow with our Radio Row coverage brought to you by Stella Artois and Low T Center. I think Brian's going to stay on board there from Radio Row tonight in New Orleans. He wanted to get out there a little bit early. So they'll be back. We're out of here. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going in with the G-Bag Nation at ease.